السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ، نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم، اما بعد، فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی رب زدنا علما اللہم فقہنا فی الدین اللهم انا نسالك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما امين يا رب العالمين ان شاء الله we're going to do ayat 22 to 27 of surah al-a'raf today. We'll begin with the word meanings, inshallah, starting with ayah number 22. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فدلاهما ف in the beginning means so or then. دلا means to pull in. So he pulled in gradually, slowly. هما both of them. So فَدَلَّهُمَا, so he pulled both of them in. This comes, the root word comes from the word دَلْوَ, which means the bucket that is used to pull in water when watering, like from a well or a body of water like in the past. So فَدَلَّ, so he pulled in slowly, هُمَا, both of them. B, with غرور, deception, by tricking. ف, then, لما, when, ذاقا, they both tasted. So this isn't just ذاقا, it's ذاقا. We see an extra alif at the end, after the قاف with the fatha. So that alif at the end of the verb means that this is dual. It's not just talking about one person, but this is dual. Because in Arabic, we have singular, dual, and plural. So this is dual. So it refers to two people. And again, we're talking about Adam alayhi salam and Hawa. So فَلَمَّا, then when, ذَاقَا, they both tasted, الشَّجَرَةَ, أَل means the, and شَجَرَة means tree, بَدَتْ, became apparent. Or was revealed. Bada means to show. So badat was disclosed or revealed. La, two or four. Huma, both of them. So tuhuma. So this word comes from su, which means evil. But it also refers to the private parts. So tu, private parts, huma, of both of them. Wa and tafika. Tafika, they both started, they both began. And the alif at the end again means that two people are doing this. Yakhsifani, they both stick. So the ani ending in this case tells us that this is about two people. Either ani or aini at the end means that we're talking about two people. So watafika, and they both started, yakhsifani, they both were sticking, alay, upon hima, both of them. Min, from varaqi, varaq, leaves, al jannati, of the paradise. Wa and nadahuma, this comes from the word nida, which means to call out. So nada, he called out. And this is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huma, to both of them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called out to both of them, Rabbu, Lord, Creator, Master, Sustainer, huma, of both of them. And what did he say? He said, alam. Ah, in the beginning is used to ask a question. So ah, did, lam, not, anhaquma. Naha means to forbid, to tell someone not to do something. So Anha kuma. Anha, I forbid. Kuma, both of you. Anha can mean I prohibit, I forbid. Or like I told you not to do this, so guma, both of you, I'm from tilguma. That you two, tilga means that, and tilguma means that both of you don't do this. So tilguma, that, oh you two, ashajarati, the tree, wa and akul. A in the beginning means I, and kul means to say. Akul, I say, la to guma, both of you. Inna, indeed, ashaytana, the shaytan, la guma, la for guma, both of you. Aduwun, an enemy, mubeen, one clear or open. Qala, they both said. Rabbana, our Lord. Rab means Lord, and Nun Alif at the end means ours. So, Rabbana, our Lord. Zalamna. This comes from Zulm, which means injustice. So, Zalam, wronged or did injustice. Na, we. Anfusana. Anfus is the plural form of the word nafs, which means soul. So anfusa, souls, na, ours. So anfusana basically means ourselves. Wa and in, if, lam, did not, taghfir. This comes from ghafara, which means to forgive. Ta in the beginning means you. So taghfir, you forgive, lana, for us. Wa and tarhanna. Rahma is the root word here, and that means mercy. Ta in the beginning means you, so tarham, you bestow mercy, na, on us, lanakunanna. This comes from the word kun, which means to be. La in the beginning, the short la means surely. The nun fata means we. It's the pronoun meaning we. Kunanna. Now the nun mushaddad at the end means that there's double the emphasis on whatever is being said. Because the lam fatha in the beginning means surely, and then the nun mushaddad in the end means definitely. So lanakunanna, surely, we will definitely be min from al-khasirin, those who are losers. This comes from the word khusr, which means loss. And al-khasirin means the losers. Ina ending makes this word plural. Qala, he said, ihbitu, you all get down. Ba'dukum, ba'd, some, kum, of you. Li, for, ba'd, some others. Aduv, our enemy. Wa, and la, for, kum, all of you, fi, in, al-ardi, the earth, mustaqar. Mustaqar means a temporary place to stay. Okay, so mustaqarun, a place of dwelling, or a place to settle in. Wa, and mata'un, mata means temporary benefit, or enjoyment. Ila, till, heen, a time, or a fixed period. So, heen means a time or period. Qala, he said, fi ha, fi in ha it, and the it refers to the earth. Tahyauna. This word comes from hay, which means living. Ta in the beginning means you, and ona ending makes this word plural. So, tahyauna, you all will live. Wa and fi in ha it, tamutuna. This comes from the word maut, which means death. Ta in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. So tamutuna, you all will die. Wa and min, from ha it, tukhrajun, you all will be brought out. Khuraja means to expel or to bring something out. Ta in the beginning means you. And this is in the passive form because the ta has a dhamma in the beginning. Right? So, tukhrajun, you all will be brought out or resurrected. Ya bani, ya, oh, bani, children or offspring, adama, of Adam, qad, in fact, anzalna, anzal, sent down, na, we, ali, upon, kum, all of you, libasan, clothing, yuwari, it covers or hides, so at private parts, kum, yours, va and risha, adornment or beautification, as a beautification or an adornment. Va and libasu, clothing or dress, attaqwa, of taqwa, meaning of piety, righteousness, Allah consciousness. Dhalika, that, khair, is best, is good or best. Dhalika, that, min, from, ayat. This is a plural form of the word ayah, which means a sign. So ayat, signs, Allahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la'allahum, la'alla, so that, or perhaps, hum, they, yadhakkaroon, they do, dhikr. Dhikr is the root word, and that means to remember. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So yadhakkaroon, they remember, or they take heed. Ya bani, ya, oh, bani, children, or offspring, Adama, of Adam, la, not, should not, yaftinannakum, fitna is the root word here, and that means a trial, a test. Ya in the beginning means this word is in the third person, and nun mushaddad in yaftinanna means definitely. So yaftinanna, he definitely tempt, kum, all of you, ash-shaytanu, the shaytan, kama, ka, just as, ma, means that, but put together, kama means just like, or just as. Akhraja, he expelled. This is the same word that we covered before, in tukhrajun, that you all will be taken out or expelled. So, akhraja, he expelled. Now, this is in the third person, it's singular. Or he got out. Abawaykum. Abaway means two parents. Okay, kum, both of you. The aba means father. And abaway, the ya, sukun after the waw fatha, means that this is in the dual form. So abaway, two parents, kum, yours, min, from, al-jannati, the paradise, yanziu, he takes off. Okay, naza'a means to pull. Like when somebody is dying, they're in a state of naza, when the angels pull out the soul. So naza'a, he pulls or strips off. And ya in the beginning means he. This is in the third person. So yanzi'u, he takes, or he pulls or strips off, on, from, huma, both of them. Libas, clothing, huma, theirs, of both of them. Li, so that, or to. Yuriya huma. Yara means to see. Okay, yuriya, he shows, huma, to both of them. So li yuriya huma, so that he shows to both of them. So dihima, so at, private parts, hima, theirs, both of theirs. Inna, indeed, who, he, yara, he sees, kum, all of you, huwa, he, wa, and qabiluhu, qabil, tribe. Who, his, min, from, haythu, where, la, do not, tarawnahum, tarawna, you all see. This comes from ra'a too, which means to see. And ta in the beginning means you, and ona ending means it's plural. So tarawna, you all see, hum, them. Inna, inna, indeed, and then the nun alif at the end means we. That's the pronoun. So indeed we, ja'alna. Ja'ala means to make, and nun alif in the end means we. So ja'alna, we made, ash-shayateen, the devils. Now this is a plural form of the word shaytan. So ash-shayateen, the devils, awliya'a, close or protecting friends. This is plural for the word wali, which means a guardian or a best friend. So awliya'a, close protecting friends or guardians. Li, for, alladhina, those who, la, do not, yu'minun, they believe. Iman is the root word here, and it means to believe. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So la yu'minun, they do not believe. Alhamdulillah. Now we'll start the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We've been learning about how Shaitan tricked Adam and Hawa alayhi wasalam to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We covered this in detail last week. And at the end of the last lesson, we learned that he told both of them that they would become angels or that they would become immortal if they ate from the tree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forbidden for them. He tricked them by swearing in the name of Allah to promise that it would definitely happen, that they would either become angels or become immortal. So Adam alayhi salam believed him because he couldn't even imagine that someone could lie while swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name. So they believed him, and Shaitan pretended to be their well-wisher, that he wanted the best for them. So فَدَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ, then he cunningly seduced them. He pulled them in, both of them, with deception. Slowly, in a way that they didn't even realize that they were being tricked. They eventually fell into his trap. They were tricked by his lies. Then when they both ate from the tree, when they tasted the fruit from the tree, badat lahuma sawatuhuma, became apparent to both of them their private parts. Their shame became visible to them. وَتَفِقَ يَخْسِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ, and they began to cover themselves with the leaves of the garden, meaning paradise. They started to stick the leaves of Jannah on their bodies because it is human nature to want to cover the private parts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has programmed mankind to be that way. So people do not like being exposed like that. So Adam and Hawa alayhim wasalam both started to cover themselves with the leaves of Jannah. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, due to embarrassment, Adam alayhi salam started to run around. Even though they were both husband and wife, he was so ashamed, he started to run around because he didn't know what to do. But he got stuck in a tree. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, "Oh Adam, are you running from me?" And Adam alayhi salam replied, "No Allah, I am ashamed." Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, "Wasn't what I gave you enough?" And Adam alayhi salam said, "It was surely enough. But oh Allah, I didn't know that someone could use your name to swear by and lie." So that's how Shaitan tricks people. Even when he sends his agents to you in the form of your friends and loved ones, they swear, but in the name of Allah, saying that they will answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you on the Day of Judgment, that they'll stand up for you as if they can defend you on the Day of Judgment. They tell you not to worry and just listen to them so many times. And people end up being convinced. They listen to them and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This happens to women very often when someone says, "Oh, just take off your hijab for a day, it's no big deal. I just want you to look nice today. It's okay. I'll take blame for it." But we know that that's not how it works. So وَنَادَاهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا, then their Lord called out to both of them. Note that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the dual form for all the verbs that are mentioned here. So Adam alayhi salam and Hawa were both involved in the disobedience. And the things mentioned here happened with both of them. In Christianity, people are taught that Hawa, or Eve, was the one who convinced Adam alayhi salam, as if Adam alayhi salam was not at fault for disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all, as if it was all just Eve's fault. But the Quran tells us that they were both at fault because they both ate the fruit. They both tasted the fruit from the tree. And this proves that nobody is perfect. Anyone can make a mistake. Because even our father, Adam alayhi salam, made a mistake. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created him with his own hands, he was so honorable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had shown him the angels. And Adam alayhi salam had seen the angels prostrate before him out of respect. And he had seen Jannah and all the things there were shown to him. But he still made a mistake. Even though Allah had told him that if he followed Shaitan, Jahannam would be the place to end up in. He knew all this, but he was still tricked by Shaitan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks him about this next. He called out to both of them. And he says, Alam anhakuma an tilkuma shajara? Did I not forbid you both to approach that tree? And remember that it's not like they were missing out on anything by avoiding that one tree. They had an abundance of other trees and blessings to enjoy there in Jannah. But they were deceived by Shaitan into going near that specific tree that they were forbidden from. Just like people are deceived by Shaitan in this life when he tricks them. We enjoy so many blessings in this worldly life, right? There are so many things that are halal, but he makes people go after the haram. Everything on this earth is halal for us. It's all lawful, except for just a few things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. Just some things that he has mentioned. But Shaitan makes people fall into the forbidden things. He wants people to be caught up in the forbidden. And this is why people still choose to eat pork when there are so many other kinds of meat to enjoy. There are so many other lawful animals that they can eat from, but they choose to eat pork as if it's necessary. Astaghfirullah. And they choose to drink alcohol, even though there are so many other drinks that they can enjoy. And that's exactly what happened with Adam and Hawa, alayhim as-salam. All of Jannah was lawful for them. Everything was halal, but Shaitan made them go to the one tree they were told not to eat from. That's how he tricked them. And if we think about it, in Islam, men are allowed to marry up to 4 women. And they're ordered not to commit zina or adultery because it is haram, it's forbidden. However, a lot of men choose to commit adultery instead of having their nikah done. Shaitan makes them think that it's easier. That's how he tricks them. Now next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam, وَأَقُلْ لَكُمَا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمَا عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ And did I not warn you that Shaitan was your open enemy? This means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told them about Shaitan clearly. He had warned them already. Before he sent them to Jannah, he had told them. Allahu Akbar. Imagine how we would feel if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us this question on the Day of Judgment. Alam anhakuma an hadha? Did I not forbid you from this? Wa aqul lakuma inna shaytana lakuma aduwwun mubin? And did I not warn you that Shaitan is your open enemy? Astaghfirullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. How would we reply if he asks us this question about anything that he has forbidden? Anything that we do that he has told us not to do? Anything that we run after when he tells us not to do it, we still go after it. He can ask us this question too. And he can say, didn't you know that I had forbidden this? And I had told you not to do this? Why did you do it? Didn't I tell you that Shaitan is your clear enemy? How would we reply if he asked us that? What will we say then? Because it'll be way too late to repent then. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us these questions, we will not be able to reply because we won't get a second chance. Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam were given a chance because they were so regretful and they were so ashamed for disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he taught them special kalimat, special words to seek forgiveness. Subhanallah. We learned already in Surah Al-Baqarah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam alayhi as-salam words to seek forgiveness. All the words we know because Allah taught them to us. Like when we recite Surah Al-Fatiha and tell him, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. When we say we worship only you, O Allah, and ask you for help, we're able to do it because he taught us those words. Or we wouldn't know what to say or how to say that. Since he taught these words, they're according to how Allah wants us to say them. And he accepts the dua when people ask for this. And this is what he taught them to say. So Adam alayhi salam and Hawa said the following kalimat so they could seek forgiveness. Qala, they both said, Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Oh, our Lord, we have wronged our souls. We have wronged ourselves. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And if you don't forgive us and have mercy on us, we shall certainly be of the losers. They admitted that they had made a really big mistake. And they didn't dare to ask for forgiveness straight out. They didn't say, Oh Allah, forgive us. Instead, they said, Oh Allah, we committed a huge mistake. And we can only be forgiven due to your mercy. Our crime is so big that we can only be forgiven if you bestow mercy upon us. And they felt this way because they were honored so much. They had a huge place to live in and eat from. And they had seen everything with their own eyes. They had been warned that Shaitan was their enemy. But they still disobeyed. They fell into his trap, so they felt like their crime was just too big, and they admitted it. That's why they didn't ask Allah to forgive them, and they said instead, Oh Allah, if you don't forgive us, we will become losers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught them this dua, so we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes it when we confess and admit that we have sinned. Like when we say, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. That's what they said. Oh, our Lord, we have wronged ourselves. And we wrong ourselves all the times. Right? Many times in life. All the time. We wrong ourselves by doing one thing or saying one thing or another. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to admit when we've committed a sin. Confess and ask Him for forgiveness. Right? And the way they said it, they didn't even ask for forgiveness straight out because they felt like their fault was way too big to ask for forgiveness, to be forgiven. So they said, only if you have mercy on us and forgive us can we succeed. Otherwise, we will be of the losers. So imagine a child who misbehaves and how the mother's heart eventually softens and she overlooks that child's mistake. When he runs to her and clings to her legs, she's angry. She's upset because that child has really misbehaved. But she forgives him. That's how we should be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we make mistakes. Admit that we have sinned and say, Oh Allah, only if you are merciful can we be saved. And only to you can we turn to. There's nowhere else we can go to. We hope for forgiveness and mercy from you. Otherwise, we will face the ultimate loss. So Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam didn't take their mistake lightly. They didn't think, oh, it's no big deal that we disobeyed just once. It's only the first time. No excuses. They didn't present any justifications whatsoever. They just said that they had been wrong. They were at fault and they had wronged themselves. Now, some scholars say that all this happened while they were still in the skies, including the time when they sought forgiveness. Then, Qala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ihbitu ba'dukum li ba'din adu. Go down. Some of you are the enemy of others. They were told to go down to the earth, and that some would be enemies for others, meaning that shaitans are the enemies of humans, and some humans would be enemies of shaitans, and some offspring of Adam, meaning humans, would be enemies of each other. People would be enemies for each other too. So some would be enemies for some others. So the Ba'd can refer to shaitans and humans. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. And the earth will be your dwelling place and your means of livelihood for a fixed time, for a fixed term. Until the day of judgment, the things people use for their temporary benefit in this life were placed on the earth by Allah. So the food, the water, and everything they need to survive has been arranged for them on this earth. Everything they use comes from this earth, and it doesn't come from any other planet or somewhere else. It's all available here. And it is a mustaqar, meaning that it's a place of dwelling and settling temporarily. Just as people are given instructions when they go to a new place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam instructions. He told them that shaitan is their clear enemy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Qala fiha. He further said in it, and in it means the earth. Okay, the it refers to the earth. So, since it was mentioned in the previous ayah, Tahyona. You all shall live. So he said, Fiha tahyuna. In it, you all shall live. Fiha tamutuna. And there, you all shall die. In it, meaning the earth. Waminha tukhrajun. And from it, you all will be brought out. You shall be raised to life from it. And you all will be resurrected from it on the day of judgment. These were all the instructions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Adam alayhi salam before sending him to the earth with his wife. Now, we're going to learn more about libas. Libas meaning clothing. We know that shaitan had tricked Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam into disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, what happened as a result? Their garments of Jannah were removed. And then they were expelled from Jannah. This is what he was aiming for. Today, people sometimes claim to be so civilized, but they argue that libas, or clothing, is burdensome. They debate over this subject, saying that no animals wear clothing and making humans wear clothes is unnecessary. They think that they should be free. Basically like animals. That's what they say being free is. They say that humans came to this world without clothes, so they shouldn't have to wear clothes. Now, we'll learn that garments or the clothing we wear is connected to religion. It's a big part of it because Islam guides us with what we should wear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us as to what type of clothes we should wear and what we shouldn't wear. So our sense of dressing should be according to our religion, not just whatever we feel like wearing. We need to wear clothes as it is one of the basic necessities of life, right? So we all need to wear clothes. So it's really important to find out what Islam tells us about libas, what sort of clothing it should be. Remember that the first thing that happened in Jannah after Shaitan tricked our parents, Adam and Hawa, was that their clothing was removed. They didn't lose their food or anything else. Neither were they suddenly punished or seized after the mistake they made. The first punishment that they faced was their garments were removed, and Shaitan caused it to happen. This is the first way that Shaitan tricked them. The first way that Shaitan made people stray. Okay, and he did this with our forefathers, with the ancestors of all of us, Adam and Hawa, our forefathers. So when he led Adam and Hawa to disobey Allah, their clothing was removed and they covered themselves with leaves. After that, Ya Bani Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O children of Adam. He says this over and over again to address us in these ayat. Ya Bani Adam. Okay, meaning, O children of Adam. And this can mean that he is addressing Muslims or all of mankind, because we are all the offspring of Adam alayhi salam and Hawa, the same parents. It can mean both things. Now, why doesn't he say, Ya ayyuhan nas, which means, O mankind, like he does in many other parts of the Quran? This is because we just covered the story of Adam alayhi salam, right? And Allah wants to remind us what happened with our father, Adam alayhi salam, since we have all come from him. He was the ancestor of all of us. So we are all his offspring. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us not to forget what Shaitan did to our forefather. After addressing us all in this way, Bani Adam, O offspring of Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا. In fact, we have sent down to you clothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down clothing upon us. Now the word anzal means to come down from above. So does this mean that clothing came down from above? That it was revealed from the sky? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to know is that just as we don't have any control over whatever is revealed to us, we don't have any control over the clothing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. Right? He sent us the wahi to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was conveyed to us, right? The Quran. So we take it as it is. That's how he sent clothing for us, as a blessing. And it doesn't matter what material the clothing is made of, it's given to humans by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how did people find out that they have to wear clothes? Where did they get that sense from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed it in their nature. That's why Allah says that he revealed it from the sky. The material the garments come from changes over time, but people do understand that they have to cover themselves with one thing or another, even if they did it with leaves before. Now, there are so many other fabrics that clothes come from. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed clothing as a gift for us. Humans are the only ones out of all creatures who have the sense to cover themselves, to cover their private parts. He sent down libas for them. Why? Yuwari sawatikum wa risha. It covers your private parts and as an adornment. A person who is naked looks bad. So clothing covers them and it adorns them, it beautifies them. So clothes are a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't matter what kind of clothes someone wears, from whichever culture, as long as their awra is covered, their satr, meaning the parts that must be covered according to Islam. But if clothing does not cover the areas that we're supposed to cover Islamically, we're not using clothes for the purpose that they were revealed. Sadly, many people want to expose their awra. The parts that must be covered in Islam are exposed nowadays, even by Muslims. We should judge ourselves to figure out if the way we dress covers the areas we are ordered to cover. As Muslims, are we following the rules of Allah? We should especially think about the clothes we wear over the summer. Because over the summer, a lot of women make the mistake of not covering up properly. Aisha radiallahu anha said that she had never seen Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam fully naked. Now, let's find out what the awra is in Islam, the satr. And this word refers to the parts that must be covered. For a woman, her entire body is her awra, her satr, besides her face and her hands. Those are the only two things that she can show in public, her face and her hands. The rest of the body should be covered. For a man, it's the belly button, including the navel, the belly button, down to the knees. And that includes the knees. It's a must to hide the parts between the navel to the knees. So we find out from this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with clothes to cover our body the way it should be covered. Islamic laws guide us in every aspect of life. So it's not just about our ways of worship that Allah guides us, like how to pray and fast, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us which body parts are to be covered. The second reason for garments, besides to cover up, is to look beautiful. Humans have been programmed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have an aesthetic sense. This is why we wear different kinds of clothes and different colored clothes, because clothes are an adornment for humans. We like to wear nice clothes. This is why we know that when Surah Nur orders women to conceal their adornment, it means that they must conceal their clothes. The beautiful clothes they're wearing, because the libas itself is an adornment. It's a way to beautify oneself. So they shouldn't think that they're fine since they're dressed properly, that they don't need to cover their clothing. They should cover their clothes with an abaya or a shawl over their clothes to hide the beauty of the clothes. That's what we learn in Surah Nur. Obviously, it is an adornment. Clothing is an adornment. And this is why we spend so much money on clothes. And there's nothing wrong with wearing beautiful clothes to look nice, as long as we wear the right clothes in front of the right people, depending on the roles, meaning that we cover up as needed in front of some people and wear normal clothes in front of others. So clothes are a way to beautify ourselves. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He has given us the blessing of clothing, along with all the other blessings that He's granted us. So we wear clothes because they are necessary to cover the body and to beautify ourselves. But we must remember one rule. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. And the best clothing is the clothing of piety. لِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى. We do wear the clothes that we can see, obviously. But we should never forget about the libas of taqwa, or righteousness. That is best out of all the things people wear when they dress up. Ibn Abbas explains that libas of taqwa is good deeds and the fear of Allah. So the outer garments that we wear that are seen are clothes. And the clothes of the heart, the libas of the heart, is taqwa. Being mindful of Allah, being Allah consciousness. This is what stops us from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are conscious of Allah. Okay, so we must wear libas of taqwa along with the clothing. So whenever we wear clothes, it has to be along with libas of taqwa. And only then we are afraid of upsetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do that, then we would be afraid of upsetting Him at all times. We would be conscious of whatever we do, knowing that He's watching and we don't want to upset Him. And then we would rush to please Him and we would want to please Him, constantly trying hard to get His approval, to seek His approval. Because of that libas al-taqwa, the taqwa in the hearts. So libas al-taqwa is the way they think. It's their inner thoughts. If there's no modesty in the inner thoughts, or no fear of Allah in what they're about to put on when they dress up, Even if that person dresses up, they're not wearing libasu taqwa. So those clothes that they wear may not be modest. Maybe they're see-through or tight, or maybe they reveal too much, or maybe they use their clothing as a display of superior attitude and arrogance to show others that they're better than them somehow. That the clothes a person wears is not libasu taqwa in these cases. But when a person has libasu taqwa, when they're wearing libasu taqwa, when they have it on, when they wear clothes, they do good deeds and they're not arrogant. Normally, many people become arrogant when they dress nicely, or they wear expensive or branded clothes, or when they wear things that are unique, or things that many others cannot afford. When they wear such clothes, it affects the way they think, the way they walk, the way they talk and act, the way they behave. It affects their behavior because clothes really affect a person's state of mind, and then they behave accordingly. When people wear normal clothes, they're fine. But when they take out their nice clothes, the designer clothes to wear, they even walk and act differently, as if they're better than everyone else. They think that they look so good compared to others. That is the takabbur. Arrogance enters their heart. And we know that that's one of the things that will not allow a person to get to Jannah. It will get in the way of that person going to Jannah. So this is why we should remember to put on libasu taqwa as well when we dress up and have fear of Allah. Because very often, people don't fear Allah in terms of dressing up. They don't understand what kind of dress Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes and what they're wearing. They don't realize that they might be wearing something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not approve of. And sometimes people wear clothes just to show off, specific clothes, when they don't even need them, just to be able to show off to others. So we should think about how we dress. Whenever we get ready for a party or a wedding or any special event, we should remind ourselves to put on libasu taqwa too. And ask yourself, have I put that on as well? Remember, in Surah Al-Baqarah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to take provisions along when we go for Hajj, He said to take taqwa too. And that is the best provision, He said. This goes for libas as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us libas to wear, clothing, and we can wear beautiful clothes. But remember that we must wear the clothing of taqwa too. Take that along. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wore expensive clothes as well at certain times. Once he wore a shawl that was 1,000 dirhams, even though he normally didn't. Imam Malik was a great muhaddith, and he taught hadith in the Prophet's mosque. Even Imam Shafi was his student. But Imam Malik wore a new outfit every day because someone had committed to provide him with clothing for a whole year. So he used to wear a new outfit every day and then give it away as sadaqah. And the next day he would do the same thing with another new outfit. He would put on a new one and give the one from the previous day away as sadaqah, as charity. So there was nothing wrong with it because it's not like he was hoarding all these clothes. So it's fine to wear nice clothes and even new clothes every day if people can afford them, as long as they have the right intentions and as long as they have libasu taqwa on. At times, there's so much inflation that we end up spending more to get something than we normally do. And sometimes we spend more because we want to buy better quality clothes so they're more durable. If we spend more on them, it's okay, as long as we're not doing it to show off to others. That is why it's important to have taqwa. Okay, so we don't do it to be noticed by others. And nobody else notices taqwa. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the condition of our hearts, and we do. So we must put on libasu taqwa every day. And that means that we When we look in the mirror, we check to make sure that we are wearing something that won't upset Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? We learned that whoever fears Allah should cover his private parts. That is libasut taqwa, the clothing of piety. So someone who has taqwa should be afraid of Allah and cover up because of that fear of Allah. Also, when we dress up, our appearance should make it evident that we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should be clear to anyone who looks at us. Because at times what happens is people do wear Islamic clothing, like abayas or men wear thobes, but they wear them in a way that is not right. Even though it's called an abaya, it's either too revealing or they're arrogant once they put it on. They become so proud, or they wear it just to show off to be seen by others. So that is not libasut taqwa. That is not clothing of piety. What we call Islamic attire is not actually Islamic if we dress that way. Okay, no matter what it is, whatever culture that clothing begins to, the dress that we wear, if it's too tight, if it's revealing, or if it's not worn the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to, then it is not libasut taqwa. So we must wear clothing that the pious people wear, those with taqwa. Some say that the clothing of piety, meaning libasut taqwa, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give people in the hereafter, subhanAllah. So that's a possibility too. But that will only happen for people who wear it in this life too. So we have to wear the clothes of taqwa, especially women. Men don't have too many options with what to wear, but women have many options. It seems like many women wear all kinds of clothes, different clothes, besides libasut taqwa, even though that is the best form. And that's what makes us beautiful in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we must be careful about this. People often dress up so everyone else around them will think that they're so beautiful. But they should want to look beautiful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too sometimes. They should worry about that. And they should put on libasut taqwa. This is what he considers the best clothes. So it must be clothes that make it clear that the person wearing the outfit fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes people wear such immodest clothes just to be more acceptable among others. And they forget that they have to wear clothing of piety as Muslims. ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّكَّرُونَ This is one of Allah's revelations so that people may learn a lesson. One of the signs of Allah. Just like the earth and the sky are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so is clothing. When we say that something is a sign of Allah, it means that we think of that person or remember them when we see something. And it means that when we look at clothes, we should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sadly, we forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many times when we buy clothes or put on clothes, or when we wear them to get-togethers. We don't remember Allah. This is why we should wear libasut taqwa, because it reminds us of Allah. And next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Ya Bani Adam, O children of Adam, La yaftinannakumu shaytan, let not shaytan seduce you. Do not let him tempt you at all. Beware. Don't let him test you. How? Kama akhraja abawaykum min al-jannah. Just like he did with your parents when he got them expelled out of paradise. Who are the parents that are mentioned here? Our parents, Father Adam, alayhi salam, and Mother Hawa. They were our parents and the parents of all of mankind. So we should think of them that way. The way we think of our parents, who we were born to. They were our parents. So remember. Now, imagine how we would feel if we heard that someone humiliated our parents and got them expelled out of their homes by tricking them, how would we feel about such a person? We would hate that person and we would never listen to what they have to say. Our parents, Adam and Hawa, alayhim as-salam, were in paradise. They were living in Jannah. Shaitan got them expelled from there. And remember that he wasn't just their enemy, he is our enemy too. And he dared to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he would lead all the offspring of Adam alayhi as-salam astray, each and every one of us. So we must be careful that he doesn't tempt us with fitna or trials the way he did with our parents. He made them go to that specific tree that was forbidden, just that one tree, and he can do that with us too. He makes us go towards whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. He tries to tempt us to do the haram things, even though Allah has given us so many halal things to enjoy in life. This is what he did with our parents too. But do not let him tempt you to fall into the forbidden. Be cautious. When he got our parents expelled from Jannah, يَنْزِيُ عَنْهُمَا لِبَاسَهُمَا, he pulled off from both of them their clothing. He stripped them of their clothing. Why? What did he want to do by removing their clothing? What was his intention? لِيُرِيَهُمَا سَوْآتِهِمَا, in order to expose their nakedness. He wanted to show both of them their private parts. That is how low he is, that he plotted to expose their private parts to each other, the parts that people do not like to show because they're shameful. From this, we learn that the first way Shaitan attacks people is through fahashi, or indecency, through shamelessness, and he gets people's clothes taken off. That is how he humiliates them, and he disgraces them. When he makes them lose their haya, or modesty. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, haya and iman go together. When someone loses one of the two things, they lose the other two. So when a person becomes shameless, loses their haya, they lose their faith too. They lose their iman. They cannot be separated. Okay, the two things, haya and modesty, haya and iman, I'm sorry, cannot be separated. The day someone stops being modest, they lose their iman. So that is what Shaitan's aim is, to make people immodest. Haya, or modesty, is a branch of iman. And it's a branch of Islam. To think about it, honestly, Islam may be the only religion that talks about being modest so much. And we'll go over a few hadith now to try to understand how important modesty is in Islam. Okay, so it's not something that we can take lightly and think that, oh, this is a by the way type of thing. Okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not expose your thigh to anyone. So we shouldn't look at the thighs of anyone, living or dead, because they are a part of another person's awrah, the parts that must be covered. Okay, and that means women cannot even look at another woman's thighs, okay? Even when you're shopping online, sometimes it's very difficult to, make sure that we don't accidentally gaze upon something that is indecent, or even when we shop in person. But remember the awrah, the parts that must be covered, okay? So he told people, not to even look at the thighs of deceased people when they are bathed. When people go to bathe or give ghusl to the people who to someone who has died, they should never expose their thighs, okay, out of respect for them. Alright, so he told people not to look at the thighs of anyone else. And for women, the whole body is the satr. Okay, so when they go out in public, their whole body is the awrah besides their face and hands. and in front of other women, we'll learn about inshallah soon. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also warned, cursed is the person who glances at the awra of his brother, meaning the body parts that should be covered. So a man cannot look at the parts of the satr or awra of another man, and a woman cannot look at the awra of another woman. Women have to be covered in front of other women too. Okay, which parts? So in public, they must have the whole body covered besides face and hands. And in front of other women, it should be from their navel to their knees, including the knees and the navel. Okay, so no other woman can look at another woman's thigh or, the navel to the knee. And their whole body must be covered in front of men. That must be clear to us all. So when shopping, we must be careful, because that's one time when things become difficult, especially when we live in the West. If we shop online, we see all kinds of clothing that just pops up, and we don't intend to, but we don't want to accidentally gaze at the awra of another woman even. And sadly, the awra is exposed so often nowadays, especially when women wear clothes with deep necklines or sleeves that are not full, or their calves and ankles show, even though they're Muslim women. I mean, in non-Muslim countries, we see women walking in front of us, and then, you know, we have to look away just so we don't accidentally gaze at the awra of someone. But even Muslim women are not careful about this. Okay, they often show their ankles, their calves, their arms. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned that cursed are the women who are dressed yet naked. So even after being clothed, they appear to be naked. Astaghfirullah. This means that they're distanced and deprived of the rahmah or mercy of Allah. Think about how serious this matter is, because it's due to Allah's mercy that we're able to carry on in our lives. If He becomes upset with us and takes His mercy away, what would we do? Because we rely on His mercy to survive. Why do women want to wear such revealing clothes so badly that they don't worry about being distanced from Allah's mercy? In the summertime, even the undergarments they wear can be seen through the clothes. And some put on, they put their hair up in a high bun, so their whole neckline and the back of the neck is exposed too. They wear short pants or capris where their calves show, or their clothes are really see-through. Or they wear such tight jeans that show the shape of their legs. That is not libasu taqwa, because they're not fully dressed even after wearing clothes. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said such women are cursed. So we must be careful about this matter. Even in Jannah, Allah will give people clothing to wear. The clothes of Jannah are mentioned so often as a blessing that people will be given there. Like we learned that they will wear clothes made of harir and istabrak. If it was so good to be naked and people were considered beautiful naked, Allah would have said that the people in Jannah would just be naked without any clothes on. But He doesn't say that. He tells us that people of paradise will be granted beautiful garments to wear. That proves that libas or clothing grants people honor and respect. So how can anyone think that it's respectful to expose their body? That's how they'll get respect. As if it's better to reveal as much as possible. Astaghfirullah. Think about how men wear suits that are full, even in the summer. When they have to go to an important meeting or event, when they dress up, they wear suits. A full suit with a sports coat or a blazer, even on top of the shirt. And pants that go down all the way to their ankles. Even on their wedding day, they dress up that way. So why do women start removing their clothes in the summer? Especially when they get dressed up for special events. Do they really feel that hot compared to men? We should remember that the hellfire is really hot. It's extremely hot. So how are people going to bear that when they can't even tolerate wearing full clothes over the summer? Just think of it this way. We should be willing to give up whatever clothing would deprive us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah or mercy, because it's not worth sacrificing at all. We cannot upset Allah over this if we do really love Him. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned that women who seem like they're naked while they're dressed will not even smell the fragrance of Jannah. Although the scent of Jannah is smelled from a distance of 500 years, imagine how far they're going to be from Jannah, that they won't even smell it. They won't even be allowed to go near it. Forget entering it. That's how angry Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with them. Even when we shop in some Muslim countries today, we don't see clothes that are according to the orders of Allah. The clothes on the mannequins are not modest at all. And the undergarments are openly displayed. That is not modesty that Islam teaches us about. When women wear clothing, but their body is still exposed, or the clothes they wear make them arrogant, or they spend too much on them, or they show their aura, or they're dressing up like men, where they take on the appearance of men, or they're dressing up like the enemies of Islam. They're wearing things, copying the other ummahs. It's not acceptable. They are incurring the wrath of Allah. So we should wear the clothes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves of. Be conscious of Him and wear what He likes. Because only that is libas al-taqwa. Otherwise, we're paying so much for clothes and to get our makeup and our hair done in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not approve of. When women do this, especially for special events, they spend so much time and money doing this, and so much energy. They think they look so good when they step out, and they think that nobody can compete with me today. But such women are cursed, astaghfirullah. So we should be conscious of Him when we choose what we wear. It's not worth upsetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over. Even if other people are impressed or compliment you, you don't get anything out of it. They won't even remember how you looked a few minutes later. Honestly, we don't even remember what we wear to certain events after some time passes. But imagine how many men may have glanced that way and how that woman has incurred the wrath of Allah. She goes back home with so many sins. This is why we must focus on our clothes and remember that Shaitan tricked our parents by exposing their aura, and he tries to do the best he can with us too. Many women claim that they have a high level of Iman in their hearts, so it doesn't matter, even if they wear revealing clothes, that they can wear clothes that show off their body. But how is that possible? It doesn't make sense. If someone does really have Iman, they are modest. In another hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Beware, never be fully unclothed, because there are angels with you who never leave you alone, except when you go to the bathroom or when you're intimate with your spouse. Besides these two times, the angels are always with you." And we should train our girls to wear modest clothes from a young age, so they don't find it challenging to stop when they're older. And there are so many fitnas out there today, so parents should be really careful with the way they dress up their girls, even young girls, so they don't put them at risk of anything bad. Okay, so they don't risk their safety by dressing them in an inappropriate manner. Even when people are alone at home, they shouldn't walk around without their clothes on, because there are angels with them. We should remember this. There's an Ibn Majah narration of hadith that says, when you go to your wife, keep your awra covered and don't take off all your clothes to be naked like donkeys. Once Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked upon a camel herder who was lying there in the camel stables, completely naked. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam dismissed him right away and he said, "The shameless person is of no use to us." That's how serious this matter is. So this should give us a clear idea of how Islam wants us to be. Really modest. Today, many families even sit there watching wrestling together. Muslim families, when the wrestlers are dressed so indecently. Sometimes people even watch women's wrestling as if there's nothing wrong with it. People are not allowed to watch such things because the awra must be covered, whether it's men or women playing that sport. Even from people of the same gender. And a lot of times women think they can watch men participating in activities where they're not dressed properly, whether it's boxing or wrestling, whatever. Or women playing tennis or other sports where they're not covered as they should, since they're the same gender. But remember, that is forbidden. We have to understand that because this is how Shaitan tricks us and he disgraces us. Being careless about these matters tempts people to sin. And it arouses desire. That is why adultery is so common today. And people are even involved in homosexuality, astaghfirullah, due to the awra being exposed. Shaitan tricks people by making them remove all their clothing proudly, beside the minimal garments that cover their private parts. But once a person's haya is gone, their iman is gone too. So that's a part of his plotting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these ayat 1400 years ago to make our limits very clear to us. So we must remember these limits instead of still being so ignorant, even after learning this over and over again. Then Allah warns us a little bit more about Shaitan and he says, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. Indeed, he and his tribe watch you from where you cannot see them. He has a whole team of shaitans who work for him. He isn't the only one going after each and every one of us to try to trick us. They all work as a team without any disagreements or problems, and they'll keep doing it till the day of judgment. Most people today don't even work this way when they work for the cause of Allah. They get upset with each other and hold grudges, so they can't work on a team for too long. But shaitan and his forces do. As a team. He sees us, and so do those who are from his tribe, meaning those who assist him in his mission. They watch us from where we don't see them. We don't see the shayateen sitting around us, but they see us. So we're basically at war against an invisible enemy. They're unseen. So this war is difficult because we can't tell when they'll attack. We can't see them. We can't do anything to defend ourselves against him. So we have to seek refuge in Allah, the one who does see Shaitan. And Shaitan cannot see him. Seek Allah's protection by saying the Ta'awuz and asking him to protect us. Shaitan tricks us by whispering to us over and over again. He suggests evil things and he presents excuses for doing them. That's how he leads us to sin, gradually, a little bit at a time, till we commit the bigger sins. He plots in a way to make us reveal the body and tells us that revealing a little bit more will not harm because he knows women want to look good. That's their weakness, so he tricks them that way. And they keep revealing more and more of their skin and body just so they can hear someone say that they look pretty. Just for that one compliment, they upset Allah. And they are deprived of Jannah. But they don't care because they want everyone to think that they're beautiful. As soon as someone says they look nice, they feel like they're in heaven. But they're at such a great loss if they compromise their values over this, their eternal life, if they earn the wrath of Allah. So Allah told us how Shaitan targets us and tries his best to deceive us. Inna ja'alna shayateena awliya'a lilladheena la yu'minun. Indeed, we have made the devils close friends of those who do not believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted the shaitans to be guardians over the disbelievers. This means that iman is what protects us from shaitan, our iman. So the higher our iman is, the more protected we are against him. But if it's weak and we listen to him and befriend him, it's because we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of that weakness. Shaitan does not like anyone who wants to obey Allah, but those who leave the path of Allah please him and he befriends them. So he makes them his friends because they either have very little iman or no iman. And libas is really important because modesty goes along with iman. So we should check our closets, okay, to make sure that our clothes are modest. They must be modest because they have to be according to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to understand and implement these ayat. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan kathira. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Nini? ਅੱਗੇ ਦੇਖੀ ਇੱਕ ਮਿੰਟ ਹੁਣ ਉਹ ਤਾਂ ਚੱਲਦੀ ਪਈ ਸੀ ਥੋੜ੍ਹੀ ਅੱਗੇ ਰਿਕਾਰਡ ਨਾ ਹੋਈ ਹੋਵੇ ਕੁਛ
ਚੱਲਦੀ ਕਿੱਦਾਂ ਪਈ ਸੀ ਮੈਂ ਸਟੋਪ ਕੀ